CBS Eye on the World, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, my colleague. We're joined by Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. There's a ceasefire in Gaza, but the conflict requires us to give attention not only to the Middle East, but also to the United States. We'll begin with Iran, however. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, Iran remains the bad actor in the region amongst many, the worst of them all. What can you tell us now after what's been occurring in Gaza?
Well, there's a lot going on multiple tracks. We'll put the nuclear talks aside for a moment and talk about their direct involvement, which is becoming more and more clear in various ways about how Iran drove this war. Let me read you an explosive quote that came from the Tehran paper, the Jerusalem Post, but quoting the papers there. Ghani, who is the Brigadier General Ismail Gandhi, the newly appointed, well, recently appointed commander of the Quds forces, is trying to bolster the resistance, and he thanks them for fighting Israel on Iran's behalf. So it appears that they timed it. Iran timed this to coincide with the Quds Day on May 7th in Jerusalem, which is Jerusalem Day, both celebrated by Israel, but he instituted Quds Day for the same purpose, and ordering Hamas to begin the battle on May 10th. And we see the letters that were sent by the leaders of Hamas thanking the Iranians and Ayatollah Khomeini in particular for the weapons, for the training. And Ghani's letter in response to some of this was praising death and martyrdom. And he says that the trail of blood to Jerusalem, will liberate, and horrific references and talking about the Jews as filth and using terminology reminiscent of the Nazis. And they talked about their support of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and martyrdom. If anybody had any doubt about where this is coming from, and Khamenei wrote them back letters of absolute praise and how they're winning, how they won, and Hamas, of course, is putting on a big front with a military parade, and Sinwar appeared in public at a mourning tent in Gaza City. But the obviously they're beginning to take account of all of the devastation and damage that was done to their system. Dozens of miles of the tunnels that they built under Gaza, which we have discussed in the past, but nobody knew how extensive, and Israel's intelligence was clearly remarkable. Also, that they believed that some of the guidance systems and others were sabotaged, because almost 20% of the missiles fired by Hamas at Israel landed in Gaza and killed people and injured people, although they obviously blamed them on Israel, including the family of eight that was killed, and they screamed and yelled at Israel, and it turned out that it was an errant Hamas missile that did it. So the connection to Iran, which is rarely referenced, I think is very important, and evidenced by their own statements and by the follow-up, the letters and the promises by Iran to follow up and help. But the real question is, who will rebuild? Will Egypt overlook it? Will they be able to keep out Turkey from this? Will money from Qatar be allowed back in? Will others step in to make sure that you don't have just a reoccurrence of what happened each time, which is that billions and billions of dollars are poured in for reconstruction, and it ends up reconstructing the tunnels and the weapon systems, which become more and more sophisticated. And the very fact that they could launch almost 4,000 missiles is not something to be ignored. At the same time, we saw also the much more sophisticated drones. Now, four of them, these kamikaze drones, were downed by means that were not described. Some say it's lasers, some say others.
Let me go to a report from London, Malcolm. Malcolm, a report from The Guardian. This is London in these last hours. A complex that houses a factory that makes Iranian drones has suffered a major explosion days after Israel claimed that Iran was providing drones to Hamas. Gaza. The blast at the weekend injured at least 9 workers at the petrochemical factory in Isfahan. The Iran Aircraft Manufacturing Industrial Company, which produces a variety of aircraft and drones for Iranian and pro-Iranian forces, is located in the complex, owned by a Nargistar Chemical Industries. You're saying that Iran is accusing Israel of this attack, Malcolm? And
they have not accused Israel of this attack at the Sepahan Nargistar Chemical Industries plant at 4 a.m. in the morning. They're saying they're still investigating what happened, and 9 people were hospitalized. They did produce explosives, so it's known. But the coincidence with the announcements about the drones that were the 6 drones that were downed by Israel and how sophisticated they are armed with explosives. They can be guided by different systems, GPS coordinates and satellite imagery. So, and obviously we become more sophisticated in the future. So whether there's a link has not yet been proven.
The puzzle then, Iran and drones in the region. Is this the first time we've seen this, Malcolm? I don't remember the reporting during the conflict about drones.
Well, there was a drone that came from Lebanon, and there was a drone that was fired during this tour from Jordan. There have been attempts, but they were not sophisticated. Drones. These are kamikaze drones. They're just meant to kill. They carry a warhead that Iran taught the Hamas how to put it on the onto the drones. And this is the first time that we have seen these kind of aerial vehicles being used, and the fact that they have long range capacity.
That is,
Malcolm. Okay, long range capacity. What specific targets might they be looking at?
So they are looking to first to hit military targets. None of them got far enough to be able to see exactly where they were headed. But we know that they have said that they were shooting them at military bases, which they tried to hit by missiles and with rockets that they were firing. So that's a likely target. But as you know, they're pretty indiscriminate. We know that these missiles that they fired did not have great guidance systems. So they're meant just to kill and to kill civilians. And many of them hit civilian houses. You know, we see the destruction in Gaza. Nobody sees the destruction of hundreds and hundreds of homes and apartment buildings in Israel by the impact of the rockets. Thank God the Iron Dome took down 90% of them, and the rest mostly landed in open fields. But it's not because they didn't intend for them to do much more. And a lot of this has to be seen in the context of the election that's coming up in Iran. I think tomorrow is the deadline for the candidates to get approval, and then they have a right to appeal. Interesting, in a poll today published, 43% of Iranians said they're going to vote, which means 57% said they're not even going to vote. And they know that this is all a sham because candidates have to be approved by the Guardian Council, and only those that meet their standard will actually end up as candidates. Zarif, as you know, was one of those who hopes to be on the list. So that does it. And we see the harder line being taken by the Majlis, the parliament. They interviewed the head of the IAEA delegation. All the parties went back for consultation. But the fact that they reviewed these discussions with the parliament and the IAEA delegation, Grahi, his name you've heard, is very interesting, I think.
Malcolm, the conflict continues around the world, and I want to come back to the U.S. on this. We have many incidents of are described by authorities as anti-Semitism in these last days. We have statements from the President of the United States and from Senator Bernie Sanders, about these. We have statements from Jewish groups across the country, Chicago, New York, all related to the Gaza conflict. Is this part of a propaganda campaign? Does Iran have the reach into our country, Malcolm?
They don't need to have the reach. I think that this is a campaign that where we see intersectionality that we've talked about before, where different movements that try to connect and turn everything into a racial conflict or add other elements to it. But this has turned into a truly anti-Semitic campaign with pogroms. In my neighborhood alone, there were 6 attacks on Saturday against just innocent people walking on the street, cars driving by, guys jump out, beat up somebody, attempts to do it. In one case where two young Jews were assaulted on the street, and a Muslim Uber driver actually came by and rescued them, put them in their car, his car, and drove them away. But we have so many incidents, as you said, L.A., Miami, all over the country, Chicago, And it goes beyond just swastika daubings when we see them actually engaging in physical assaults. And this is a very disturbing, especially because when somebody was badly hurt, hospitalized, the person involved, Wasim Al-Walda, who said, I will do it again when he was in prison, he was released. Within 24 hours, he gets out. They put up a minor bail of $10,000, and he gets out. And we know that he comes from Bay Ridge, and the judge, Catherine Pack, set this low bail so that he's taken out as a hero, carried on people's shoulders. And we saw it in other places where they, even in front of the police, would confront and throw stuff and use mace and pepper spray against people. So this is an escalation of anti-Semitism. It's nice that Bernie Sanders and other elected officials who just a few months ago made pretty anti-Semitic comments or allusions, I should say, themselves, both here in New York and elsewhere. You know that this is cumulative. We know that this has been building up. And you're right. It has links to the fundamental Iranian campaign and the core anti-Semitism of it. And when people ask, why is anti-Zionism anti-Semitism, this is your proof. Because it's not about a territory. It's not about a building. It's about Israel's right to exist and Jews' right to exist.
Malcolm, Secretary of State Blinken in Bangladesh, what can you tell us?
Secretary of State Blinken is flying to the Middle East. I think it'll be his first trip to Israel, and he'll have a chance to see firsthand what is happening on the ground. As you know, the United States is promising assistance to rebuild in Gaza, but will hopefully want to do it in a responsible way, because we know that the money is fungible and most of it ends up in the hands of the terrorist organizations, PIJ and Hamas. At the same time, President Biden has promised to rebuild the stockpile, the defensive stockpile for the Iron Dome and other things that Israel needs to defend itself, because it still faces 150,000 missiles in Hezbollah's hands in Lebanon. As we said earlier, one gives a signal, Hamas goes and Hezbollah will go. And so I think that this is a very important trip. Not to restart the peace process, as some people said, because that's not on the table now. It's not going to happen. But to at least build foundations for the ceasefire to last and to address the issues that are outstanding. And on the Bangladesh front, that is one of the issues, is how the Abraham Accords can be expanded. And Bangladesh, which hasn't recognized Israel since it became independent in 1971, dropped a requirement that was on their passports that said it's valid in any country except Israel. And this was removed. And they, in fact, in the past, even sentenced people to prison if they visited Israel. So this South Asian country, which is the third largest Muslim-majority country in the world and the eighth most populous country in the world, took this step. But they say they are not moving towards diplomatic relations. This was done by the Interior Ministry and sort of downplaying it, but it is seen as a significant step.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCullough, American Greatness. We're looking for the dusty one next, Indiana Hohenlein himself. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.